I got five more minutes here being board chair.
Introduction
of new board members and oath of office. Karen.
Well, welcome to George Fiedler and J.C. Wallace. They are two new citizen members on the board. George comes from Stearns County and J.C. comes from Wright County. I'm sure you guys can do a better introduction than that. So do you want to maybe...
Just kind of tell us where you're from and what maybe any hobbies or something that you...
How long ago we got out?
Yeah. Just tell us a little, give us a minute or two or something about yourself.
Way to warm them up, Bob.
I don't think I can do a minute or two, but I'm J.C. Wallace. I'm from Cokato. I work at the high school media center. And I would say my biggest hobbies are reading and hiking.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm George Fiedler. I grew up in Stearns County on a small dairy farm. Went to St. Cloud State University, and then I went in the Air Force. I was a colonel in the Air Force for 30 years. And now I work for beautiful Benton County as a county veteran service officer for the last 8 years.
Well, thanks
and
for
my,
seeing
And my hobby is work. I love to work.
Welcome. Do we want to go around and introduce everybody?
Sure. Yeah. I'm Randy Wincher. I'm a Morrison County Commissioner. Been on this board for, this will be my seventh year, I think, on the board also. Like 6 years, maybe. And I'm retiring as... board chair.
I know.
Electing a new one, but again, one of my favorite boards. I really enjoy it here. Don't feel bad. There's a lot of things to learn, but I say, I think, again, to me, it's a very rewarding board that I sit on.
Jeff Bertram, District 5, Stearns County.
Michael Potter, Wright County Commissioner. And while you make fun about when did you get out, because we have a former sheriff over here, so you chuckle out of that.
I'm Zaria Anjum. I'm Stearns County. In my professional life, I'm a psychiatrist, and this may be new to you. I have switched to Nystrom's counseling, so I left the VA.
Yeah.
And so now I just started there.
Am I going to need a psychiatrist here?
Come on.
We all do. We're prepared.
Thanks for being here.
I'm Dave Kircher. I'm a Todd County Commissioner.
I'm Wayne Bauernschmidt, a citizen from Wright County.
I'm Jane Dietz, and I'm from Sherburne County, and I'm a citizen trustee.
Lisa Phoebe, Sherburne County Commissioner.
Ed Pop, Benton County Commissioner, and we are really lucky to have George working for our county.
Thank you. I'll pay you later.
Melissa Fee, Wright County Citizen.
County Willetzko, Administrative Assistant.
And the backbone for everything that happens at the meeting. And you've met me. Aaron...
Who are you and why should we care?
I'm Aaron Murphy. I'm the accounting distribution supervisor. I look after both the shipping and receiving and all the accounting for the whole region.
And I'm Julie Schmitz with Human Resources.
And I apologize because usually there's a whole row of them and I didn't see them. There's only two of them.
How about we give them the oath of office?
All right, I gave you each a copy of the oath. You want to just swear you both in? You want to repeat after me or do you want to just read it?
Whatever you like.
Okay, how about repeat after me? I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States. And
I swear.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I swear I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota.
I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustees of the Great River Regional Library System according to the best of my judgment and ability.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustee of the Great River Regional Library System according to the best of my judgment and ability.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please tell me that wasn't your outdoor voice.
I've got such a cold. I'm not even sure if anyone can hear.
So George already has his sign, but we'll need a signed copy too before you head out. So.
All right, again, congratulations and welcome aboard. Adoption of amendment of agenda. We'll have to motion and a second.
Motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Election of 2020 Great River Regional Library Board Officer. What I will do is I will elect, or no, I will nominate, or not, I'm going to get my story straight. Nominate a president, and then once that nomination is taken care of, then that president can take over the rest of the agenda.
And Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that you and Lisa both have met your 2-year term limits.
Correct.
For chair and vice chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but now Lisa would be qualified for chair.
Correct. I'll move Lisa as chair.
So I have a nomination for
second.
Lisa.
I like the second.
And I'll take Jane for a second. Is there any more nominations?
Mr. Chair, I move we cease nominations and cast unanimous ballot.
All right. We have a motion to cease nomination.
Lisa, you know I love you.
Come on. All right. Those in favor of Lisa being the board chair, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Lisa, congratulations.
Yay.
Yes.
The hard-fought battle.
Oh, you can stay there if you
can
need
to. Can I stay here tonight?
Yeah,
oh, no.
Wherever you want. You're the chair.
You're by the chair. Watch out.
Don't put your finger out.
Yeah, I got to behave.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. And we'll move on to 4.2, electing the vice president. And I will open nominations for vice president.
I'll nominate Ed Pop.
I'll second that.
Okay. Ed Pop's been nominated, and there is a second. Are there any other nominations?
I move to close nominations and cast unanimous ballot for Ms. Three.
Nominations are closed. All in favor for Ed Pop being the vice president?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion is carried.
All right, Ed.
What a team. Gary.
Oh, good.
Moving on to secretary, number 4.3, I will open nominations for the secretary position.
Who was?
Yeah, that was me.
The secretary was Michael.
If you look on page 3, all of this is laid out for you.
And Mike has not, you have not termed out, right, Mike?
Not on that one, you don't term out.
Make a motion for Michael Potter.
Yes, here you are.
There's been a motion made for Michael Potter. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Are there any other nominations?
I'll move that nomination cease, Madam Chair, and cast unanimous ballot for Mike Potter.
So nominations have ceased. All in favor for Mike Potter for secretary, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
I want to let the record reflect that was the easiest election I've ever been in.
Exactly. Motion has carried. Moving on to the treasurer.
Who nominated? I did. Dave, and I'll second. No, I made the nomination.
Jane made the nomination.
Okay.
Dave seconded. That's what I thought I heard. You guys can confuse me quickly. Treasurer, open the nominations for a treasurer. Currently, that is Jeff Bertram, and you haven't
termed out
on that, I don't believe.
There isn't a term limit.
I'll nominate Jeff.
Second.
There is a first and second.
I move to close the nominations.
I'll second that.
Okay, so nominations are closed. Do I have to vote on closing nominations?
No.
It's a Robert's Rules question. We don't do this often.
Well,
so
Michael started.
Sorry. Okay, so nominations have ceased. So all in favor for Jeff Bertram for treasurer, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. So we have our new slate of officers. Moving on to number 4.5. The board standing committee appointments. These were all in your packet.
The executive committee, Carlin, did send her regrets. She became ill today, so wasn't able to attend. She is interested in continuing to serve on the executive committee, but did not want to be appointed to any additional committees other than her existing commitments for executive committee and CMLE. So. Okay. Yes.
I got a question. It looks like the executive committee exists of the county commissioners plus two. Is that a standing deal?
It's the officers, and it has to include representation from every county.
Okay.
So we have Dave
That's the finance. Executive, it doesn't matter. Well, you end up with a citizen.
Madam Chair, as being past chair, does that mean I stay on the executive committee? Because Randy, there's some committees the past chair stays on, and then now I'm the former.
That would be, right. Randy would actually be considered past president
right.
at this point. So Randy would have to be on.
Okay.
Lisa and Ed.
Ed.
Michael and Jeff.
And then Dave, because of Tycom.
Yep.
Steve would still be under.
Representative.
Represent Todd Cohn.
Because of
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Carlin.
And Carlin. You need to have one person from Stearns County, but Carlin is from Stearns, so.
Well, Jeff is from Stearns.
Yep, true. So we have all the counties represented.
Okay, so our executive committee will be Lisa, Ed, Mike, Jeff, Carlin, Dave, and Randy.
Yes.
Correct? Do we need to vote on these, or just?
No, it's appoint.
The I president appoints.
Appoint. Okay, yep. So. That's it.
I don't do you.
Ed's going to be using the gavel for me. Use the gavel. He says, use the gavel.
Ed's scared already.
I don't use the gavel much. Okay, moving on to the finance committee. Now, this is the one where...
It's already formed pretty much because of the way the board appointments have gone at this point.
So the finance committee members will be Lisa, Jeff, Dave, Lee, Ed, Mike, Michael, and Randy.
Correct.
Okay.
Madam Chair, my only question was, we don't have vice chairs? I mean, what happens if...
Well, Ed is on anyway.
Ed is the vice chair. Yeah. The committees will appoint their own chairs
Got
at
it.
Their next meetings.
Got it. Yep.
So at the next meeting. Okay, a personnel committee.
This can be...
This is where...
It needs to include the past president.
This is where I step off and Randy moves in.
Yep.
Okay, so we remove Dave. Put Randy on.
Randy's already on.
Randy's already on.
Oh, is personnel? I thought personnel included.
He's on because of chair. He was
oh,
a chair.
Oh, so
okay,
do
so
I move
just
on?
Lisa.
Yeah, I think,
yep,
yeah,
just
I think
Lisa.
Lisa
so
goes
I move
on
this.
And I go off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Dan.
And Randy.
President.
As a former.
Dan's off. Yeah.
First,
Dan's
Randy,
off.
Randy
well,
stays
okay, we're
on.
Going, we're, Madam Chair, we're going back to personnel committee. So we're so yep. Was Jane going to be the chair? Yes, no?
Within, we vote on that when
within
they have
the committee.
Okay.
That's decided within your committee. But the change is I will go on this as president. Randy will stay on as past president.
Yes.
No?
No, we don't.
Doesn't
he doesn't have
to.
To.
Okay. So Dave could stay on.
What?
I hear chirping.
I was under the impression the former chair was on all committees.
I don't
but he is
know.
Ready, so I guess it doesn't matter.
The current chair is.
The current chair is.
I thought the former chair was also just for advice and anything else. That's usually the standard procedure. But that's what Randy can stay on it. I'll stay on it if you want me to. But I certainly would make room for anybody else.
Well,
appreciate
again,
your wisdom.
Someone has to come off because Lisa's going on.
Oh, Dan Bravender's off.
Oh, yeah. And do we have to replace Dan then?
Yes.
From somebody from Wright County?
There's no boundaries
oh,
around
okay.
that on this committee.
There was three on there before, so it would be good to.
And then
well, if we got Wright
okay.
County,
Lisa comes
so on. I'm going to recommend for the personnel committee, unless there's any of these people are choosing to go off, Jane, Jeff, Melissa, Dave, Michael, Randy. And Lisa.
Well, I'll go off since you'll go back on because you're the board chair. So, because I was on as board chair, so I'll go off, and then you still need to replace Dan.
You don't have to have seven people. Oh, okay. You could have a six-person committee if you want it.
Seven's always good.
I just named seven.
So Randy said he wanted to come off.
You want to come off, Randy?
Yeah. I think he said he would go off. I didn't hear him say he
oh,
wants to go
I know.
Off.
I didn't hear a definitive.
I've been
hard
working
to get.
With Randy for a while.
I think he's playing hard to get. I think we should make him stay on. If I were the chair, I'd make him stay on.
Okay.
Fine, I'll stay on.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay.
So,
power of the gavel.
Dan goes off.
Dan goes off and Lisa goes on.
Okay.
Moving on to the Fund Development Committee.
We did not do official appointments for the donor members last year, and last year, this time, we had passed the job description for Fund Development Committee members, so we thought it would be good to
re-up everybody's term and make that appointment official for the newer members.
Okay, so that will stay as
Yep, listed. Unless somebody wants to join.
Unless somebody would like to join the fund development. Okay, and then the Library and Safety and Security Committee members.
So at the last Security Committee meeting, we had talked about there's a staff safety and wellness team, and there's some overlap that's been happening with the work of the Security Committee and the safety team. So our hope was maybe to move toward having more staff on the committee. So we've added Julie Schmitz to the list of staff. Her department oversees the safety and wellness team, so it makes sense that she would be added. And then Neil Vig would be replacing Eric Blockcamp, who is the St. Cloud representative right now. Neil is part of the team of people who also does calls for service with the St. Cloud Police Department, so it makes sense to pull from that group of people. We don't have to have four board members on the committee, but we're certainly open to what makes the most sense from the board perspective.
Okay, so currently the board members are Jeff, Mary, Dave, and Lee. Are there any other board members that would like to be on that? Boy, that was quiet. Are there any of those four that would not would like to be removed? Then I'm going to recommend that we keep those four board members on with the staff members that are listed.
Actually, Madam Chair, we've been having some very good meetings lately.
Yeah,
real productive.
The information has been great that you bring to us. So, okay. And that will complete our committee assignments for this next year.
Right. The Correct. Only one that's not included is the Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange, but I put that with the other discussion around Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange because it seemed like it made more sense there.
Okay, great. So we will move on to number 5, which 5.1, we will approve the minutes from November 19th, 2019. They are in your packet. So I would be open to a motion.
Move for approval, Madam Chair.
Second.
There's a first and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
It's on the minutes, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the minutes in the management report, as of Friday, November 22nd, on page 8, halfway down, 78 gifts totals, 4,500. Was there a year-end total yet? Do we have that number?
No.
Okay.
Annual campaign will actually, or what is it called? Annual campaign will close out at the end of January.
Okay.
So we count that full campaign amount in the year-end total because the money is still coming in based on that last appeal.
Fair enough.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is carried. Moving on to the December 17th minutes, I would be open to a motion.
No move.
There's been a first. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Number 6, public open forum. Do we have anyone signed in for open forum? It doesn't look like it.
I don't think so.
Thanks, Julie. Okay, thank you. So we will move on to number 7, the financials. 7.1, the bills were emailed, and there's an addendum on the table for you to review for tonight. And I would be open to a motion.
Make a motion to accept the bills.
Second. Seconded by Mary. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Moving on to 7.2, the financial reports were also emailed to you. Be open to a motion.
So moved.
Second.
By Michael, seconded by Randy. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Thank you. Moving on to number 8, the consent agenda. 8.1.
is our annual financial designations. These are an annual item that we always do, pretty standard. If you read through those, I would be open to a motion.
So moved.
Motion is made by Randy. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Michael. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Sorry, I have to rip these packets apart. Moving on to 8.2, designation of the newspaper, official newspaper, another standard item that we do at our annual meeting. So I'd be open to an emotion.
Madam Chair, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I see the cost is zero. We never use
it. Only time this has ever come up was in the fire situation, and then we wished we had done it. So we picked the same paper as the city of St. Cloud because that was the one instance where we wished we had something.
I just noted the cost, and Stearns County, it's the Cold Spring Record is the official county paper. Mm-hmm. Don't know, I mean, obviously there's six counties, so.
Right, you have to pick something.
Yeah, but the Cold Spring Record is the official county paper, I guess.
For your county.
I don't know if it matters. Correct. And we're doing this because you said the city of St. Cloud has a St. Cloud. So,
but it's not $0 either.
Well, no. We typically don't print, I think, for what we have to.
Okay, so Michael, you made a motion?
Correct.
And is there a second? Seconded by Mary. Any other discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried.
Madam Chair, I make a motion. We approve other.
Second.
Hey. Oh, you guys are trying to throw me off. First meeting.
Sorry. Get that gavel up.
Yeah, get that gavel going.
Under discussion.
Okay, number nine. These next number of items are, I believe, for information only, but I will turn this over to 9.1, the audit engagement letter.
This is our standard letter.
Standard letter.
We've already signed it and committed it, but it's provided for your information.
Thank you, Karen. And then library legislative date. Do we have that date?
I have a date. March 31st will be library legislative day. We are always open to having people come, and we've had people attend in the past. It's been it's a fun day walking around the Capitol talking about libraries. One of the big topics this year will be the library bonding bill. We've received that in our region at Kimball, so we're hoping that that amount is again reissued for the next legislative cycle so other libraries could participate. The one project in our region that may be in line for it in terms of where they are in the planning process is probably Cold Springs, the closest in terms of what they've been talking about at the city and actually having a project in the pipeline for this cycle, but it's always good to advocate for that. We will probably head down in the morning. There's usually an opening session with the MLA lobbyists talking about the current issues. And then Patty makes all the appointments for us. So we just follow Patty's itinerary, and she does a really good job of trying to hit. We try to hit as many legislators in our region who are on the committees that oversee education. Mm-hmm. Because we're such a large region with so many legislators, it's not possible for us to hit all of those people with appointments in one day. That being said, if you aren't able to attend and still want to participate, there is also a library legislative week, so there'll be a virtual component, and I'll send information out about that as well. So, again, we'd be happy to meet you down there, or if you don't want to drive, we can pick you up along the way.
For commissioners, it is the fifth Tuesday of that month, so that's a
either a day that we try to take off, or we're open.
So it would be great to have people. Yeah, Michael's been down there. Wayne's been down there with us.
Mm-hmm. It'd be great.
It's Mike, always good conversations.
Put up with me again, but only if Jamie shows up.
Jamie will be there.
Okay,
so. She is MLA legislative chair this year, again. So she will be kind of coordinating the event at the state level.
Okay, so Madam mark Chair, your calendars. Yes, Jeff.
Karen, if you wanted to just do a short template for an email that those of us who aren't going to go down could send to our immediate legislators.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
We all could just change it a little bit and say we are unable or we're unable to attend, but these are, I serve on the board, these are the issues. You won't hurt from hearing the second or third time from a different angle.
It's nice to have a local voice. It really makes a difference in terms of getting appointments, too, if you have a constituent with you. We have such a broad district that we actually have a pretty wide constituency just among the staff, because Jamie and I don't live in St. Cloud, so we can get appointments with some of those other legislators as well. And I know when we were down there with Skip, we had a really good meeting with Eric Lucero about the meaning of libraries, and I think it's good to talk even with those legislators that aren't on committees to just reinforce that libraries are important and have a role.
I'd suggest it's short.
Yep.
But to the point.
Okay, great. So mark your calendars, March 31st. 9.3 is our 2020 meeting schedule. You'll notice we kind of have an every other work session and then an official meeting. It's generally how we run for new people. So, but that gives you our dates that are coming up this next year.
Yep. And the April session will be a strategic planning session that will include stakeholders and staff as well. So
maybe it could be a little longer.
Right.
So just think about that. Maybe we'll try to feed people.
2 hours is where we're shooting for.
Okay. Or bring a bag lunch.
Well, I think we'll have food. So.
Okay. So item number 10, presentations. Do we have a presentation?
I did not do that because I didn't know how long elections would take, and I want to give you guys enough time to do what you need.
A lot of campaigning.
Yeah.
So
Chad Aaron pulled off, and otherwise it would have been awful.
So we'll move on to reports, and starting with Karen, the executive director's report. Wish to add anything?
Sure. In addition to what's here, I did send an email out. Gretchen Vork, our longtime library services coordinator, passed away in Painesville and Belgrade. She's going to be greatly missed. Great River has been around for 50 years, and she was here for 26 of them. So Great River without Gretchen is not going to be the same. There is a card circulating here. I think it landed at Patty. I thought it'd be nice to send a card from the board to their family, because she has been such a longtime staff person, and her death was kind of unexpected. So it's just a good reminder to take every day as at its fullest. In November, the board actually had approved the addition of some security measures and consulting. And part of that is a subscription for staff and family members of staff and board members to participate in terms of electronic security. So if board members are interested in taking part in the security training, this would go through things like email phishing. We've been seeing some pretty serious email phishing attacks here at Great River and at other entities within the St. Cloud area. It's not an additional cost for board members to take part. It's actually part of the subscription. So we'll send that out if you're interested. Just let me know if you have no interest in it. Otherwise, I'll assume that we should add you, if that's okay. Because you probably get some of those phishing attacks just being on, like, the library board listserv or being on the email or on the website. And some of the ones that have come through most recently have been fairly convincing, enough that when I received one from another entity last week or the week before, I responded back to this person because I knew it wasn't them, and I said, I don't think you're the person who sent this. And I got a reply back saying, oh, no, just click on the link and add in your credentials, which meant that account had already been compromised. So they're becoming a lot more convincing than they had been before. And they're always adding tricks to their toolbox, so it's good to stay one step ahead. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. In case anybody missed the card. card on that side. Partner for Student Success, Rachel had this in her management report also. They're United Way Partner for Student Success now. They are getting underway with their 21st Century Learning Centers grant, which is a 3-year grant, which is also eligible for a 3-year renewal, so it's a 6-year grant potentially. We are in the process of signing contracts with them to do programming and outreach services to the 10 learning sites, which they will then be reimbursing us for through this grant process. So it'll be a new process for us. It's going to be similar to what we do with interlibrary loan delivery and like Sartell and Elk River Open Hours, where we have a contract in place with this outside entity to do service. This is the first time we've done it through somebody else's grant. So we're learning how that is going to play out. We're in the process of signing the MOU and then the partnership agreements. The services they will be contracting with us for is building makerspace kits and then our staff training the staff at these learning sites to actually use them for STEM programming. We are also going to be bringing out conversation circles to the 10 sites that are identified in the grant to help family members with their English. And we will also be doing pop-up libraries where they can check out materials at those sites. And we'll also be doing some additional programming. So we're really excited about the project, and it'll be really interesting for us from the assessment angle. One of the things we've identified is we don't do assessment consistently or effectively at the library system. And part of this grant is actually assessing the work to see what the impact is for after-school activities in relation to student success. So because they're working directly with the school, they'll be able to track the students' outcomes who are coming to these learning centers to measure the impact of them coming to these programs in like their grades and how they perform at school. So we're really excited in partnering with them because I think we'll learn something from that assessment piece that we don't know now. Rachel, Jade Lauber, one of our patron services librarians, I think Connie Lang and Chris Mallow and I will be heading out on January 30th. The State Library is offering workshops on M3 after school assessment to learn about youth program assessment. And members from Partner for Student Success will also be at that workshop. They're using that same assessment model. So more to come on that, but it will be really interesting to see it unfold as we go forward.
Was that statewide?
No, it was, well, it's a state grant, but it was received by a United Way Partner for Student Success. And there's 10 sites within the St. Cloud area, and I think some are in Sauk Rapids, Rice, I think Blooming Kids, daycare, the Boys and Girls Clubs, and then two of the school buildings here in St. Cloud are part of that project.
So, but statewide being other grants, other areas, or?
The 21st Century Learning Center grant was given to other entities, but I don't know who else received it at this point. They haven't made those announcements that I'm aware of.
So we could see a picture statewide, hopefully.
Yes. I mean, they're really focusing on after-school activities and family engagement in order to influence student achievement. Because they're not just targeting the kids. They're saying, okay, we expect the whole family to show up. What things can we do to improve the family environment to make it a better learning environment for the student? And that's where the conversation circles piece comes in. It's not just for the kids that are showing up. That's a specific program they can do for any of the adults that show up as well.
But for us, it's
it is a St. Cloud grant. Yes, it's a St. Cloud grant because the United Way of Central Minnesota, that's how they wrote the grant. And what we're doing the programs, but they're paying for us to do the programs as part of the grant. So it's actually expanding our capacity through their funding.
Okay. Anything else, Karen, or questions of Karen? We also have management reports and building reports in your packet.
Madam
questions
Chair, here
on
we
those?
Go. Here's where I get to play now. Thank you. Okay, so when Cold Spring, hopefully that comes forward to that one. Delano, on this here, did they also fix their water problem in the basement?
They're still working on it.
Okay, so that one's besides the toilet thing.
Yeah, it seems, Brandy and I just had a conversation about this morning, between Monticello and Delano, they're both experiencing similar problems with more frequency than they've seen in the past, and they're both remodeled banks, so we don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but it's just something to note. They're both in
former
banks.
When's the last time you jetted out the line? Okay, that's just me on that one. Okay, Kimball, hopefully they get good bids this year.
Yeah.
Because that'll be nice if that comes back. Howard Lake, how did that January 13th meeting turn out with Nick?
It went very well. They were talking about a lot of different possibilities. One of the ideas that they talked about is whether or not an elevator made sense in the building. You know, that's a lot of money. They're also talking about different types of programs that they can offer there, and it seems like the city is really interested in trying to engage the community so that library sees more activity. So it sounds like it was a good conversation, but lots of ideas on the table right now.
I had a good conversation with them in December about, come on, let's start thinking. Let's start getting this thing moving forward. Let's get those numbers up where they belong. Also with Monticello, with the bathrooms, at least Monticello fixed all the other things, but the carpet, they still didn't fix that carpet. They had some guy come in and try to clean it, but they're going to have to cut it out and redo something like that. And I tried to get the Monticello to put that expansion of that in their five-year plan. So that far, they've been reluctant to do that, but say, guys, you know what's going to happen. You know, you need more meeting rooms, you need more space, you got the space right here, put in the plan, Art, you know, CIP. You fund it, great. So going forward with them, that's just getting that. I did building reports. I also did have a talk with those in Rockford about replacing the carpet in there. Because that's at that point where they, you know, I said, it's your building. It's your asset. Let's look at this.
Good to get people thinking.
Well, get them going. The staff down there is pretty good. It's the city council's a little slow on the march there. You know, nothing lasts forever, but I said you could do it, the front part with a vinyl plank flooring or something, and do the back part with carpet, so you could do them in two phases over time. So what they have had a couple conversations with people in the Lions Club down there, get them to donate the floor if the city council's too cheap to do it. You know, that's one way to get around it. You know, put a little bit of embarrassment on them that they can't even take care of their own buildings. But it's good with Nick on, because I was concerned with Howard Lake about getting some of those.
Yeah, we've had a couple of conversations. In addition to the meeting, I talked to him on the phone a few weeks ago, too. So,
any other questions about the reports, management or building?
I have one addition.
Okay.
Rachel and I will be heading out to the Painesville City Council meeting on Thursday. There is a local investor, for the lack of a better word, who's really interested in something different with the library and other facilities in town. The City Council's talking about a proposal in their work session on Thursday, so we'll just be talking about what's possible. Painesville hasn't been on our list of places to move forward quickly, but if there's someone who's interested in improving the space or giving us a better space, we're certainly open to the conversation.
Okay, great. Mary?
Madam Chair. Communication and development under fundraising. 2019 calendar year raised $129,000. And that, what does that mean?
Mary, what page are you on, please?
42. Am I ahead of us?
Thank you. Nope.
Ahead of us?
Nope.
Does that include the gift to Elk River?
You know that, Erin?
Brianne's not here.
Right.
No, she's not.
I think it's reseeded, right?
We have 1/20th of it reseeded from September of last year.
I'm sorry, say that again.
1/20th of that annuity has been reseeded for Elk River, yes.
And that's part of this $129,000?
I cannot tell you that. I didn't put together that number. So I would have to look into that for you. But I'm assuming it is if it's a total gift number. It's an educated guess that she put it in there.
Anticipated. Or future through the course of the annuity.
Yeah, the annuity is spread out over 20 years, so it's $12,500 a year.
But I was just wondering where $130,000 came from, because we also got something that said we're at 41. Or
that was just the annual campaign. If you look above, this was through January 6th. We had receded 38,000. I think more has
where
been receded.
You?
In the paragraph above where you're seeing the 129. Brianne included the year-end campaign totals as of the printing of this packet, and that was 38,000, but I believe we've had more receded since then. And then the total amount received as of January 6th for last year was that 129 figure. I believe it's part of the annuity, but that wasn't the only planned gift we received. We had like two others that came in. So that total would also include some of those other gifts.
I think there was one for 10,000.
And it would include locally grown as well.
Yep, and I'm not 100% sure if that includes in-kind or not.
I don't think so.
No.
I think it sounds like it might be helpful to clarify that a little bit for the board for the next meeting.
Right. Anyway,
yeah, we'll do year-end reporting in February because that's when all the totals are final.
That would be helpful, I think. Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Then let's move on to human resources reports. Julie's here, so if we have any, or do you have anything to add to those, Julie?
I did want to add an employee who was missed. Lisa Hill has 20 years of service. She's here in our patron services department.
Jeez, we better cut this short.
Okay, yes. We won't ask a lot of questions. Does anyone have any thing they desire? Okay. Library facility security audit summary.
You want me to try it, or are you okay talking?
This is for information.
This is the direction from the Library Safety and Security Committee to do security audits in every building. Julie and her department conducted the lion's share of those those audits after the safety and wellness team, which Patty is part of, created the checklist. And this is a summary of the findings. I think the high points, do you want to maybe go over that part?
So we looked at the outside of the building, and then we looked at lighting, entrances, hidden areas, some staff behavior as far as valuables, emergency procedures, things like that. There wasn't anything very glaring, but we have discussed some of it with the security committee, and they may want to dig down a little bit deeper. A lot of the libraries were stuck with a certain kind of building, and we recognize that, you know, so some of them may not be conducive to having mirrors for hidden areas because the stacks are too high and you wouldn't be able to see anyway. So just a couple minor things that we were able to clear up quickly, like posting code of conducts. AED machines is something that we've discussed, and we'll sort of transfer that to the safety committee and take a look at different communities are doing different things with AEDs. So we may or may not need one in a library if there's one available in communities, but we'll transfer that as some for safety to work on. One big area is there's always room for improvement for us to have those working relationships with law enforcement, so we'll stress that. We did have all of our employees in the last 2 months redo active threat training. We had a video that everybody had to watch and acknowledge that they viewed it, so sometimes that generates some conversation too. But that's something we just want people to be prepared ahead of time because it can unfold so quickly. One thing we do continue to hear is staff. There are some staff that are uncomfortable closing alone, and if you see the number, there are quite a number of our libraries that have staff closing alone. So I think that's probably a discussion point that will continue. So any questions? Anything jump out at anyone else?
Good information. I appreciate that. Yeah, I wonder what we can do with the closing alone thing. That's a big thing for lots of people.
So. Madam Chair, I think we had the discussion on that. I can't believe that there's a police force, whether it's county or local, that if you told them,
right.
I think it's just a communication thing that they wouldn't work around, even if it's a county patrol community, that they would work around those closing times. I think it's just a communication of asking them, letting them know when the hours are. And I know that's what Julie said, that they were going to try to do to some degree.
Great.
I think that'll take care of 95% of them.
Correct.
Okay. Anything else? Thanks, Julie.
Yeah.
Moving on to the summaries of the unique management and the recapture revenue. Anything, Karen, you want to say about that?
These are provided annually. We use a collection agency on our accounts. And those that go through that collection agency process and we don't see a result and have a balance over, I think it's $250, we do have staff work with the Department of Revenue on those accounts that also have materials and a $250 balance to try to recoup those. Continues to be cost effective to do this, and we have pretty good results, not just in terms of cash recovery, but often with material recovery, which is not as common last year as in previous years, but it's definitely still cost effective.
Okay,
Just out of curiosity, what is Unique's procedure? I mean, do they send them a letter or call
it's
them
It's a several-step process. They consider it a soft-touch approach. The first, if somebody's got something overdue, they'll get a letter if it's 10 days or more overdue, or if they have a balance of $25 or more. If it's over $25 and that amount isn't reduced within a certain time frame, then they get sent to Unique, then they get a phone call, they'll get a letter. Unique does skip tracing if there's... if it's an NSF address. And I think they get up to 4 phone calls before their process is complete. There was a point in time where they also credit reported, but that's no longer possible because of changes in the law.
Madam okay. Chair, at what point does Dave call them?
We haven't added that as a step.
What point do we send Dave out?
I think that should be the final step.
We call that kick doors, take names.
Yeah. Look at Dave looks so tough over there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Dave, for those of you that are new, Dave is in law enforcement. So, and he looks so tough. Look at him.
Yeah. I'm a meanie.
So, okay, thank you for that. Anything else other? No? Moving on to number 12, we have a number of committee reports, the Finance Committee. We do vote on this as an entire board. Each board meeting, the Finance Committee will meet prior, or not every board meeting, but often the Finance Committee meets, or maybe we meet every meeting. I can't remember. I chaired it, but I don't remember. Prior to this meeting, and then that agenda and those decisions are forwarded to this board for final approval. So that's for new members. So today we met right before this at 5 o'clock, reviewed our fourth quarter financial report. In Aaron's words, we ended strong at 96.13% spent out of our budget. There was a capital equipment request that we supported for a postage machine. In the past, we had rented a machine, and now we are going to move into purchasing a postage machine for many reasons. We approved the proposed budget timeline for 2021, and that was our business today. So I would need a motion.
So move.
Second.
Motion's been made by Jeff and is seconded by Mike. Any questions or comments? And that packet is always provided for you also for your review. So you'll have that information. Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. And then similarly, we do this with the personnel committee. When they meet, any action that they take is brought to this meeting for final approval. So I'll turn it over to Jane.
So in our meeting today at 5:30, we did review the personnel committee. These are the items that were reviewed by the personnel committee. We looked at the pay range quartiles report. This information was filled out by Julie, and that's in your packet. You can review it. It's quartiles is kind of hard to understand to start with. Karen and Julie can explain them more as you go along for the new members. And then we also talked about staff recognition policies were reviewed, and we looked at the different items, the actual gifts that they were receiving. The most important thing is we have decided to send out a letter. A letter does go with the item that is given to the person when on their anniversary date, but the letter is now going to be also signed by the board chair and given to them so that we can connect the board with the employees.
Why are you laughing?
Lisa's expression. I don't think she was here.
No one
that.
Checked with the board chair on that. Come on.
No. We do have to vote on this, though.
Yes. Well, actually, it was just reviewed.
Oh.
We have to vote on accepting
the report. Yeah, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we didn't.
Totally joking.
You can write it out that many times, can't you? Okay. So, any other questions on the personnel committee? And we meet occasionally and when there's items to be reviewed or voted on. So without that, I'll ask for a motion to accept the report of the personnel committee.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mike, seconded by Ed. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Executive committee report. Do we have one?
Want to do it?
I don't think we
well,
met.
Well, it was from the minutes were approved earlier.
We met to approve the union.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
We approved the minutes. The executive committee met in December to approve the two union contracts. And so the minutes reflect the activities of that meeting.
Right. And we approved those earlier. So moving on to the fund development committee. Did the fund development committee meet?
Well, actually, I can do the review for that unless Mary wants to, which she's turning her back on me. Our meeting on January 17th was called off last Friday due to the weather, 12 inches of snow predicted and high winds, very cold. But our members will be writing out thank you notes to their donors. And I'm sure Karen has a pack to give Mary of thank you cards. Is that correct, Karen? She's busy.
Yes, sorry. I have some for Mary.
Because
we
didn't
talk
have a
before
meeting.
You head out.
And we're going to fill these out, and we are going to be having a meeting rescheduled. It's rescheduled on January 27th, unless we get some more extreme Minnesota weather. But Brianna's promising hot cocoa and coffee at the meeting, so if you'd like to come.
Great.
Otherwise, nothing else. We're just on our regular schedule. She's going to get the final totals for the month of January, and we can finish out the annual campaign.
Okay, any questions? Mary.
So the final total, we're not there yet.
Right.
The stuff's still trickling in.
Right. I told Brianne to hold the campaign open till the end of January. That's usually when they've tapered off, but I don't know.
I want to note something. I went back and looked at the financial report. If you look at page 7 in the finance committee there, Mary, right in the middle, you'll see fund development revenue.
Yeah.
That's about $81,000 right there. The $12,500 Elk River annuity does not go into those. It goes into the gift fund, which is up above on this report. So the number that Brianne provided, I'm sure is accurate. Because a lot of money goes into the gift fund as donations from wherever designated for just, you know, for the branch. So not all of it, you're not going to see all of it just in the fund development revenue line. You have to look in the gift fund too, but
and gift.
Right, but not all of the gift, that's where it gets a little more confusing. It's clear as mud, but not everything that goes into the gift fund is necessarily a gift from a donor either. There's a lot of money that goes in from the friends, from their book sales that we park the money in there to use for specific things.
Programs or whatever.
Whatever their friends' gifts for, or whatever we ask them for, yes.
So, 41,000. That's where we're at.
Oh, if you're talking about the year-end campaign, then yes, it's probably around the 41,000. I don't remember. It's in that neighborhood, I think. She put out a daily news on it too somewhere.
I haven't seen that.
You have not? Okay. I know. I think she put one out. Just a few days ago, actually.
Yeah, I can look that up.
So, and then Linda is still receiving them because branch cash reports come in. They still have monies that were brought in December, or like, you know, donations that came in, depending upon when the branches get done with their cash reports. So that's another reason why Karen asked to keep it open, or Karen yep. Brand decided
well,
to keep it open an extra
month.
Well,
we've done that before, though, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kept it open till end of January.
Correct. To give accounting time to catch up the contributions and get them entered and get everything tallied.
So bottom line is our annual campaign, we've fallen short.
We don't know that yet.
We don't know for sure yet.
I can't say that at this point.
Or whatever.
So we'll get those final numbers in February. Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Central Minnesota Library Exchange Board.
So Carlin's not here, and Lee left early, and Mary's got a mouthful there.
Perfect timing. I'll chew fast.
You want to give a report, or I can start about CMLE?
Begin.
At our meeting, which was January 15th last week, reviewed the bylaws, but we tabled them till the next meeting because there's some a lot of language we need to clean up. We also reviewed the draft of the social media policy. We were updated on the upcoming year's events coming up. The virtual reality kits are booked out for almost the entire year. We elected a new vice chair and personnel committee members. And we also were informed of talks separating CMLE into two different multi-county, multi-type systems, which Karen's gonna, I think, address. And those would be two different systems whose boundaries would align with the existing regional public library systems of East Central Regional Library and the Great River Regional Library. But there's still a lot of...
There's a lot of unknowns.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll let Karen talk about it because we were just presented briefly about.
And we can dig into that more too once we get to that action item.
Sounds good.
That's on our agenda tonight, number 14. So anything else, Mary, you want to add to that?
Nothing in your mouth.
No.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you, Jane.
We'll get more into it in a bit. Number 13, unfinished business.
Your name, Madam Chair. Again, I think this is something that we should address here too is the per diems, not for the county commissioners, but maybe some of the county commissioners get per diem, but I didn't realize that they're only getting $25 per meeting. I think that should be something that we should address. I sit on a lot of boards, and that's the least of anybody that we get, you know, so I shouldn't say that there might be one out there, but it's another reason, but I think we should address that because for $25, you can't even start your car anymore.
You also get mileage, and mileage is already also included, right?
They get mileage.
Oh, we get mileage.
But it's otherwise, the per diem is only 25, right?
Or 20.
That's a CMLE, it's 20.
Yeah, that's
not. I don't even know.
I just think that's kind of ridiculous.
My time is worthless.
I'm so tired.
But see, I don't think we've discussed this since I've been on the board.
So where should that start? Should we discuss that in the finance committee?
We can do that at finance.
Put it on the next finance committee.
Or put it on our next finance committee meeting?
That's what I thought. It'd be something that we should take. I think we should really revisit that.
We'll start with the finance committee and then bring that to the whole board. So if you have strong feelings about it or thoughts, see a finance committee member.
Madam Chair, yeah, CMLE, that's their call.
That's a different.
That's different.
But he's talking about all of the Great River committees.
Okay.
Randy, you're talking about this board.
This board.
This board.
Okay.
Okay. New business, number 14, Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Resolution Proposal.
All right, turn this over to Karen. So I've included this as an action item because of timing of meetings, and I wanted to make sure that the Great River Board had an opportunity to do what the Great River Board wants to do in this situation. East Central Regional Library is kind of our sister library. We share the governance of Central Minnesota's Libraries Exchange. That's why we're appointing members to that committee. In state statute, it says the Commissioner of Education sets the boundaries for all multi-types. And Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange boundaries have been set over Great River and East Central since multi-types came into existence in 1979. Back then, we didn't have computers in libraries, so a lot's changed in that amount of time. One of the main reasons that multi-types exist is resource sharing. If you look at statute, like delivery, having a catalog, those are all multi-type functions. The East Central Board passed a resolution last week, and you can see in your packet the resolution that they passed and their background information that was included in their packet last Monday. And that includes language from the statute, so you can see why multi-types are established in legislation under 3A, sharing of resources among all participating libraries, long-range planning for cooperative programs, development of a delivery system for services and programs, development of a bibliographic database, which would be like a catalog, and a communication system among all libraries. Since when this was put in place, Great River was running a bookmobile. Like, a lot has changed. And what we're seeing at Great River is we're doing some of these multi-type functions now, just as the work has evolved. So we do interlibrary loan for all of the academic libraries in the region right now. So we serve St. Cloud State, St. John's, St. Ben's, St. Cloud Tech College. We get reimbursed from the state to do that work, but it could be considered a multi-type function. We work with St. Ben's, for example, registering students so that they can access lambda.com. We've done school registration projects in a variety of elementary and middle school settings so that they can access our digital library collection and tumble books. In Swanville, they had issues with their school library. We have a staff member running out books to the school, and they're checking out books at the Swanville school. So that resource sharing among different library types, while a multi-type function, has also become somewhat of a public library function just because we've got that infrastructure there. We've got the delivery system. We've got vans going out. We've got staff and the ability to loan materials to schools. So this resolution would ask the Commissioner of Education to look at the boundaries as East Central's board has asked. Rather than having one multi-type, there would be two. One that aligns with East Central, one that aligns with Great River, so that multi-type work could be more focused and aligned with the regional public library system. If you look at the statute, the governance of the multi-type systems is actually assigned to the regional public library systems. That's in subdivision 4, and there's a 4A and a 4B. We're currently working under 4B because the boundaries of the multi-type are not contiguous with the regional library system. So we have a mixed board at CMLE. There's 11 members. five of them are Great River appointees. Two of them are East Central appointees, plus there's a public library seat that is shared between Carla Lydon, who's the director of East Central, and myself. So we rotate that seat. So of the 11-member board, our two regions have eight of the seats. I mean, we govern that entity, and it would make more sense from a governance standpoint if that was simplified, because you could have one audit instead of two or three, or one board instead of two or three. It could impact state funding for multi-types. We're not sure what the Commissioner of Education would do, but the first step would be to start the conversation at the state level. I do want to share, too, Carlin's perspective. She emailed me tonight because she serves as a CMLE appointee on the board from Great River.
One meeting.
Okay. She's and she just wanted to make sure that her perspective was shared since she couldn't make it tonight because she was sick. And she just said that her thoughts were that the resolution that's on the agenda, and it sounds like she sent this message out to the other appointees as well, that it seems like it's moving without any assurances of additional funding for a new multi-type, and that the change would not necessarily adversely impact the other multi-types, maybe hasty, potentially damaging to the work of the multi-types on the whole. Mary and Angie, who are the employees of CMLE, are not just supporting libraries in person, but have created and are creating great content, including the VR kits that they just received an LSTA grant for that wasn't referenced in the ACRL resolution. So the question is, what would happen to that part of CMLE's work? And splitting the budget in two, she thought might be crippling. And lastly, she says it seems to be wise to consult the members before moving forward, even if the next legislative session is beginning soon. And that's what she had planned to say at the meeting. And when she says members, like members within the CMLE region isn't just public libraries, it's school libraries, it's special libraries, it's academics. So I just wanted to share that since she had specifically asked me to. I don't know if that's enough background or too much background. I don't want to belabor the point if there aren't questions, but that's kind of where the starting point is. I do have maps of the regional systems and the multi-types if you would want to take a look at what the boundaries are, but I don't want to muddy the issue either.
So thanks, Karen, for that backdrop. What questions?
Madam Chair, any other library districts throughout the state do this?
So there are 12 regional public library systems like Great River. There's lots of different kinds. Some are federated, some are consolidated. There are seven multi-type systems. Of the seven systems, three are contiguous with a regional public system and have merged governance in some way. Of the four that are left, only one has contiguous boundaries. So us asking for this look at the structure of the Commissioner of Education could create a domino effect, but if you look at the legislative intent, it is about addressing things from a local perspective. And so it is fair to say that it could trigger things in other regions, but this is our region and it's our job to oversee it.
Okay, other questions? Comment? Madam Chair?
Yes, Mary.
Just, and you talked about governance and, you know, I'm not sure, it was not clear to me, and I've been there for a while, that we're actually, Great River and East Central are responsible for the actions of Central Minnesota. And secondly, you know, I'm kind of in East Central's camp. I think they've been maybe underserved to some degree. Central Minnesota Library Exchange offices are here. There's two people. You know, they can only do so much. And so I think, you know, if there's benefit, we've gotten it. They have not. I understand their position. And there's duplication. I mean, You know, we do, and East Central does, a lot of what they're supposed to be doing. And it's 40 years old, the legislation, or so. I think it's time for a change. I really do. That's my position. And we can't change it ourselves, but we can ask. Mm-hmm. So.
So is that in support of this resolution then?
Say again.
Is that in support of this resolution then?
I am.
Okay.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion?
I would.
Okay, motion's made by Mary. Is there a second?
Nope.
There's a second.
Yes.
Okay, a second by Dave. Other questions or comments?
I have a question, Madam Chair. And I looked at this and I'm kind of, it's going over my head. Which is not too easy. It's pretty easy to do. But anyway, I don't quite understand why at the beginning, why would we have more members on the CLME than the Central?
Based on population.
Based on, okay, so okay. That's, I look at the counties that are involved, which would be like Mohawk and all that. So, okay, so that's based on population. And again, the benefit or the non-benefit, I should say, of us supporting this resolution, I have a hard time comprehending, you know, what advantage we would get by supporting this resolution. I don't see it personally.
We oversee the work of CMLE. So our responsibility is to make sure that those dollars are being used most effectively in our region. I think there's been questions in the past about whether the work that they're doing is actually serving the members of our region. You know, another example of something Great River does with a special library, we actually work with the Military Museum in Camp Ripley to deliver their exhibits through our delivery system. So again, that's us as a region doing multi-type work. I think the advantage would be we could eliminate some of the duplication because they pay for a lease, they pay for an audit, they pay for equipment, and we could eliminate that part of their work because we could absorb that without any additional costs, really. And we could better align what their work is to the work we're already doing. So for example, if their mission is to provide continuing education to teachers or school media specialists, couldn't we coordinate that with a school visit where we're doing library card registration on site? That's where I think some of the streamlining would just naturally come if their work was under our umbrella.
So you said we could absorb this cost, but you foresee in the future any additional cost to Great River?
I think the biggest hurdle would be the transition years because it really depends on what the state decides to do with the funding. Right now, if this just went forward with no changes to the way things are written, multi-type funding is different than public library funding. 60% of the formula is a base share. So instead of dividing it by 7, it would be divided by 8. Which would actually result in more funding for East Central and Great River, but I don't think that's our intent. Our intent is to eliminate duplication of services and streamline the administrative processes. So I would hope that we'd move forward with the idea of holding people harmless and trying to streamline as much as possible. That being said, there's 2 employees at CMLE that would be directly impacted by a change. Depending on how this rolls out, we'd have to figure out how to handle that between our 2 regions.
Madam Chair, I have an additional question related to Randy's. And thank you, Karen, for giving a kind of a high-level overview of how this breaks down. In the resolution, I'm not seeing anything that takes parity on the funding, you know. We don't know how much services are going to be provided in that region. And you say that we can absorb that or potentially absorb it. I truly believe that. And it sounds like a great idea, but I don't see the verbiage here in this resolution. Or will there be some additional resolutions coming or
if the board wants to revise what's written here, I'm certainly open to that. I just used the East Central Resolution as a starting point because I felt like if we were going, I felt like because we might not have a regular meeting to take action until March, you would want something to actually work from rather than starting from scratch.
It, and just to summarize, my concern is, what is the risk? What are we walking into without any stopgap verbiage here to prevent the counties from having to sign up to cover an area of services that we had not initially been funding for?
I think the biggest risk would be that there would be no actions to hold people harmless at the state level, which would not be a risk financially to Great River and East Central. It's actually a risk to the other six multi-type regions. Okay. They could potentially lose $14,000 each annually in funding if nothing is changed about the formula.
I have a concern that we're rushing into this too fast. I would like to see a lot more verbiage, a lot clearer picture of what actually is going to, the duplication that would be removed. Would CMLE be able to be housed here at Great River? Because that was, they pay a lot in their lease, but they looked at coming here at one time, and it was expensive too. You were going to charge them, where with the East Central, they're going to be having free space in the new Cambridge Library.
Well, that would be up to the Great River Board on how to treat that. But the estimates we sent over at the time were with the understanding that they were a separate entity we were contracting with and that it would be okay with the City of St. Cloud to do that. If they become part of the Great River region, that's no longer true. They're employees. And we have open offices right now. Okay. So finding the space for them would not be an issue here at all.
But that would be a charge for it, though, or?
No, because they'd be our employees at that point.
And they'd share your benefits then, too? Mm.
Dave?
Well, Madam Chair, thank you. I'm always in favor of taking our time and looking at these things because this is a critical move on our part. But I think, and I'm just going to say as a philosophical thing on my part, is it is, and I think our responsibility, believe it is our responsibility, to help other citizens in other counties expand their services. And I think this is a move to do that because of some other things going on that's over my head. But I just read that into this, that it is a responsibility. I feel it's a responsibility of Great River to help other citizens expand their library experiences and whatever else. So I just think that's a move that we're trying to make here. Well, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but.
No, that's accurate. I mean, that's kind of where we started, the conversation started.
You know, it maybe down the road, Madam Chair, it may cost us something, but I think we need to weigh that in what it really is going to cost us and what the outcome is of what that cost is for this board. We sit with very good reserves and healthy reserves, and, you know, I'm not opposed to slowing it down and making sure everybody knows what we're voting for. But I think it is, from what I read into this, a good thing that we as a Great Regional Board should support. So,
Mary, did you have something to add?
Well, I was just going to say that to me, and maybe I said this already, but, you know, it's a 40-year-old function. We're already doing half the work. East Central feels, as I hear it, they're not being adequately served because CMLE is housed here in St. Cloud, and there's two employees, so they're not getting their whatever services they might need, so they're doing it themselves. And we do have the stuff here ourselves. To me, it's outdated, should be gone, I think.
Ed?
I agree with Dave a little bit, but Karen mentioned that other, you know, cooperatives like that could be affected. So in one turn, we're serving our individual needs within here, but we may be looking at to the west of us or to the north of us, where we're doing them a dishonest by, you know, where they could cut funding. So I think, I definitely think we need to do more looking at this before we take action.
Melissa? I have a question. Because of being a school employee and having been worked as a media specialist, how do you foresee that affecting the school districts involved if there's a split? Do you think that would negatively impact the Great River Regional school districts?
I don't think so, because I don't have a sense that there's a lot of participation now. In particular, I think of like Todd County, where there are no licensed school media specialists that I'm aware of in the entire county. And so I don't know that there are multi-type services going to those schools right now.
Okay.
I think if anything, there may be a more intentional, once we say this is multi-type work and it's our job, we're pretty good at focusing in and figuring out what makes the best impact. I mean, we've just got a better infrastructure to do that because we're not just two people. That being said, I don't know, because I haven't talked to school districts directly. You would probably have a better sense of that than I would.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
Madam Chair, we have a motion and a second on the table. I'll call the question.
Okay, so we will vote on the resolution before you, as written. So, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
I would say the motion fails.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, would you make that a lack that we need more information?
I believe that it seems we need more information. I think it's a, for me, just trying to get my head wrapped around it. And I see a lot of heads nodding. So when I hear Mary say, you know, just her understanding of it, and she's served on this for how many years, and none of us have, I haven't served on it. So I think it's just a whole system structure thing that we're not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we could get more information.
By me, Madam Chair and Karen, the reason we wanted this here done, and I understand, but if we know our next board meeting is in March, right?
Right.
So
that's
we'll
the hard
have
part.
A challenge on our hands. We probably.
We could make February into a special meeting to talk more about it if that's the will of the board. We'll be doing for, you know, year end reporting there anyway. Could I get a sense for what information would be helpful?
Madam Chair, two things. One, the Commissioner of Education makes a decision, so the timing of it, just so I understand, it's not so much a legislative timing, is it? Because the commissioner makes the decision.
I think this was talked about at the CMLE board. There is an opportunity within the special session to ask for supplemental funding in terms of aid to systems in order to make this happen. So maybe one-time money to try to get over this transitional hump for any library systems pursuing it, or maybe the impacts of it. But there isn't a specific, this is what it would look like at this point.
Okay. Personally, Madam Chair, what I'd want to know is, to Melissa's point, is that all of our, the schools, the private colleges, all the users, you know, what the potential impact both ways could be. And to Commissioner Pop's point, the other library districts, again, we don't want to, you know, what goes around comes around. We want to make sure that we're not adversely affecting them without, that's not even our intent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really want to think that all through, that we can see the bigger picture of, one, how does it affect all of our users within our system? And then, two, how does it affect everybody in the state, that we don't inadvertently hurt somebody that we really don't want to? I think once we get those assurances, I think then we have a better sense of that.
Ed, then Randy?
I think that as we look at this, I think we're getting the bigger picture, and we need to express or expand the boundaries. And I don't think 1 month is enough, and I don't think if it's been around for 40 years, I don't think 41 years is going to hurt. So maybe we need to start now and look at it and maybe come back for next year.
That's a good point.
Madam Chair.
Randy?
Okay,
and then Wayne?
It brought up the attention of those two. I can't know what the impact would be there on them. what's going to happen if we would adopt this resolution?
I don't know that we would know that.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
Because first we would have to find out if the Commissioner of Education would say yes. Like, it's kind of a chicken and egg problem, because you can't get to the level of what will happen until we get an answer back on how they would handle it. And they're not going to look at it unless we pass a resolution and say, can you look at it? So that's what makes this really difficult. Wayne? Okay.
So with that in mind, what would it hurt to go to the Chairman of Education and discuss that we are trying to work together? We don't have a resolution in front of you. I mean, I've been at the Capitol, and there's been a lot of groups that have, hey, we're this far away, but we're not ready to actually present you with a resolution that we are merging or whatever the intent is. The intent of this is good, no doubt about it. It's just, how do we do the due diligence quickly enough? And can that message be delivered so that at least in special session, if there is money available, can they appropriate it without this resolution or not, is the question I have.
I don't think that, well, it's hard to say. The legislature does what the legislature does. Yeah. We will have a meeting of all the regional public library system directors on Thursday, where we'll first be talking about this at the state level there. Whether we would have enough time to build something without something concrete to attach it to, I don't know, because the session starts in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, my sense is, you know, they've got 1,000 things to do, the legislature and the Commissioner of Education. When you start getting the level of governance, they really don't like to deal with hypotheticals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They want to deal with factual requests, factual funding. So they're probably not going to give us a hypothetical. They're going to say, if you want to do it, do it, and let the chips fall where they fall, is my sense. I don't think they're going to give us a direction.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And even if this resolution was presented to them, is there enough structure for them to buy off on it?
Well, we can
find
that
out. So is it the wish of the board that we visit this in a meeting next in February? That we have a special meeting to visit this again, or do we?
I kind of agree with Ed again. I don't think, like, say, if they waited 40 years, that's a good point. What's another year? Is it going to be that?
It's another couple hundred thousand dollars, that's all.
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I don't know much about any of this yet, but.
The CMLE board has not taken action. It was discussed at their last meeting, and there'll be a meeting in February, is my understanding.
True. If you want a resolution to be accepted, show cost savings, then I think they'll look at it. Because everybody looks for cost savings.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's just hard to get to that level of specificity without knowing what's going to happen from the Department of Ed. So it's hard to say. I could tell you what they're paying for a lease, and I can tell you what they're paying for an audit, and what it would cost for us to do those things. But in terms of what happens with the employees, what happens with the funding at the state level, those are unknowns.
I think there's enough knowledge around that what they may be doing it. I'd like to see what are the efficiencies in doing this. If both groups agree it's a good idea, well, let's put out some data points that we can begin.
Yep.
To say what can we save to make more efficient.
That makes sense.
It's a looking back a year of services provided, if those were combined, here's what the savings would be.
I think you're going to have to point out that there's some savings, because I would really question the funding from the state. And we know how they operate. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is this needs more work. And it doesn't seem like we're hot to revisit it right away in February.
Well, Madam Chair, I think we could revisit it, but we don't have to plan for a vote.
Right.
So maybe part of the workshop.
Just an information point with the.
We could continue the dialogue.
During that work session.
Right.
Yeah, and that might be good.
Yep.
To to work more on that. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So if we don't do this, what happens to East Central's?
I don't know. Well, they've passed the resolution.
Right.
I'm sure we'll have conversations about that. They will, I think they meet monthly, so they could choose to wait until we've decided or until the CMLE board has decided or both. It's a challenge because you're dealing with three different governing boards that are all about this size. I think East Central is 18 and CMLE is 11, so.
Three chickens and three eggs.
Yeah, right.
So this will come back to us in February at our workshop session.
Yep.
Madam Chair, the CMLE, do they meet prior to us meeting in February?
February 12th is our special.
So they do then, they'll meet.
Yep. They do meet before us.
Which is helpful.
So 14.1, I'm going to move us along. Central Minnesota Library Exchange Board appointments.
So they, CMLE last year aligned their board cycles with their fiscal year, and they run on the state fiscal year, which is July 1st to June 30th. So Gloria Palmer's term ended officially at the end of last June. We for sure need to fill that seat. Mary had said she's willing to serve at least through the end of June, so we could.
Well, I'll be done then, I think. I'll be out of here, out of your hair, at the end of 2020.
So, for sure we need to fill Gloria Palmer's seat right now, but just know that there's likely to be another one of the five that would need to be filled at some point. And okay. The CMLE board meets four times per fiscal year. You can see on the bottom, September, December, March, and June. The December meeting this year got moved to January because of quorum, and then they scheduled the February as an additional special meeting last week.
And what time of the day do they meet?
12:30. 2 p.m.
So do we need to fill that today with somebody right. from this board?
So somebody who would like to go on February 12th, right? Is that it? I think.
That's the special meeting.
Yeah.
So those dates don't work for me, dates and times. So another person, they meet during
the
day.
On the bottom of page 77. It's over by Target. No, that's a special meeting that they've added.
Okay. They meet over by Target.
What day is February 12th on?
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. It's
second
MICA
Wednesday
meeting dates, if you're on MICA.
So they meet the second Wednesday of the month? Is that not?
Well, this is a special meeting, so.
Generally, it looks like it's the second Wednesday of the month, except for this one.
And they meet here? Is that where they meet?
Or? Near Target, over by East Side Target. Yep, it's in St. Cloud.
Randy?
You know, I can, I don't want to commit to the whole thing, but if you guys need somebody here for the 12th meeting, I can do it.
Okay, great. Thank you, Randy. Thank you for that filling that position for us.
For 1 month.
Well, I don't know. That's not what I heard.
I heard, yeah. We'll revisit it next.
And it's a $20 per diem.
And it's a big $20 per diem.
I will, Randy. Yeah, Patty will get the information.
Right, I don't get it per diem.
Okay, I'm going to move us along. I'm watching the time. No, I'm not. We're adjourning at 7:15. No. So this next part, number 15, board open forum. We just kind of go around to the board members, and you can share whatever is going on in your neck of the woods with regard to libraries or...
Can we share one thing about per diems before we go too far? I'm
sure.
Sorry. Patty, help
yes,
me.
Yes, Patty.
Every year we need to get from board members, even if you're deciding to decline per diems, that you intend to do that. So we'll hand this around. And.
Well, it started with last year when a few of you decided you did not want to take the per diems or the mileage reimbursement. And rather than having you write it on the little blue slip and whatever, I just made a form this year. But we should get a new one on record each year.
So this is only if you're declining.
So if you choose to decline,
For DM and mileage.
For DM and mileage, or either or.
Take one of those instead of the blue sheet.
Patty, does that include?
That's if you're declining.
Yes. If you're going to be declining this meeting.
For the year?
For DM and mileage. Otherwise, either you're filling that out or you're filling out one of these.
Yes. So please turn those in to Patty by the time you leave today. So moving on to number 15, board open forum. This is a time that we share things going on in your area of the world with regard to libraries or other. And I will start. I want to thank the board for electing me president tonight. And I also want to thank Randy for your leadership these last few years. And there's a lot going on in Sherburne County, but you can just read it in the newspaper. So we'll go this way.
I have nothing.
Happy New Year.
I don't have anything. Todd County has recently appointed a new county coordinator.
Oh, yay.
After maybe having maybe a half a dozen of them come and go. We did appoint internally this time after a lot of discussion. And it was some opposition from some board members about doing that, but this person has been our interim coordinator for two periods of time and has done an excellent job. And so I supported appointing her, and it did pass finally. So her name is Chris Pelzer. So if you want to meet her when you come up the next time, I'll introduce you, or if you want to call her, that's fine.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, and if I may. We did pass our levy, final levy, which was 0.83%, I believe. So we beat Morrison County.
That's pretty good.
Sorry, I have anything.
Just our levy matches growth. Scale zero. If our growth is 7%, levy will be 7%. Because if you don't put that in the money on the front end, it's going to cost you big on the back end.
Next. Welcome to JC and George. The two new board members.
I thought you were talking about JC's.
It's a comedy routine. The red carpet.
Not very good at comedy.
Okay. I have nothing. Thank you.
Nothing.
Happy New Year.
Which township, George?
Welcome. Brockway.
Okay, great. Welcome. Over here, JC.
Oh, I'm excited to be on the board, and I appreciate all the welcome, and this has been a good initial meeting.
So a question for you.
Yeah.
You've been here once. Are you coming back?
I'll come back. We're thinking about it.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
Benton County, actually, after been on the board for 5 years, and the Regional Airport Authority was discussed for 5 years. And today we approved it.
Oh, you
to
did.
Go ahead with it on a 3-2 vote, though.
Wow.
So, I don't know what Stearns County did, if they have approved it, but Sherburne has. So there will be a regional airport authority developed for the St. Cloud Airport.
Yeah. Stay tuned for more on that.
Good.
Hope it works. Thank you, everyone. Please drive safely home.